Speaking of the Word, let's go to the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 17. If you're there, say, I am. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely as a human point of view, or from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're new? The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that I'm not who I used to be. I thank you that the old is gone. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to live with that anymore. But God, as we go in the Word today, I pray that you would take my words, let them be few, but let your Word be powerful. And I pray that you would touch us today and help us to walk away knowing, Lord, more about you and your presence. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All things new. This entire series is called All Things New. Everybody say, all things new. All things new. How our lives change. It's about how our lives change. Being someone new, doing something new, living in a new way, believing in a new way. There's how many of you, your beliefs have changed over the years? Yeah, everybody should have, because when we were little, we believed that everything revolved around us. That don't happen. When you get married, you know that. It don't revolve around you. Last week, this was our main scripture, and it is our main scripture for this set of messages. It means that anyone who belongs to Christ, anyone who is in Christ, who is connected to Him, the old life is gone and the new has come. We talked about two things that happen when we find Christ. Two things that happen. Who remembers what they are? I've already said them about four times today. The old is gone. That's the first thing. The old is gone. Who we used to be literally changes. We no longer are the person that was broken. We're no longer that person who is bound by sin. We have freedom. How many of you want freedom? All right. Stay with me today. Listen, we've got a lot to go over, and I want to make sure I get it to you. It's sort of like God takes what was only inside of us and changes us. He changes who we are on the inside. Now, the outside doesn't change. Man, I wish it would. If God would change my outside, I would say, okay, listen, I want big old biceps. I want big old thick tree trunk legs, and I want a six-pack like nobody was business. And all, but it don't happen that way. God don't change the outside. He changes the inside. So like changing oil in a car. You got to do it every now and then, right? See, that's another problem that we have as Christians. We forget that sometimes we got to go to God and say, okay, there's some things that have crept in on the inside of me that need to get out. Because you don't just change your oil one time and you're done. If you do, you're going to be sitting on the side of the road pretty quick. Listen, I'm in that boat right now. I got to get my oil changed. If I don't get it changed, that grime and that gunk and that junk that's on the inside of that oil is going to end up messing up my engine. It's going to end up freezing it up. And I've had that happen before when I was really young. I wasn't paying attention, and I thought, well, I'm fine, ain't no big deal. Next thing I know, and it locked up, and we ended up having to just get rid of the entire car. It was horrible. But that's what God does. He gets on the inside of us. Everybody say inside. He gets on the inside of us, and He changes us from the inside out. We expect God to change the outside first, and we say, okay, God, well, I got to stop this. I got to stop this. Got to stop this. No, God wants to deal with your heart first. Everybody say the heart. I'm having you say a lot of stuff today. I understand. He takes out what has literally been on the inside of us forever and says, okay, I'm going to shake things up a bit, and I'm going to replace it. And then the second thing that happens is new life begins. Oh, can we praise God for new life? I'm so glad that my old life is gone. That's what baptism symbolizes. The old man is put into the water, and he is left under that water, and that old man is dead now. And we come up brand new. That's what it symbolizes. that we become back new and we come back replaced and changed. Just like changing the oil in a car, he replaces the gritty, grimy things that have been inside of our life, and he gives us a new lease on life. The problem is, this can't be the end. Just because he hands you a shiny new toy doesn't mean that it's done. Just because he changes your life on the inside doesn't mean that that's it. Again, you don't change oil in a car one time. You have to do it from time to time. You have to keep it going. This is where some of the all things new mentality falls into our hands and into our laps. We have to take action with this new life and make a few changes. We have to make some changes in who we are. Automatically, we always think about the things we need to give up or the sins that we've got to that have got to go in our lives. We come down to the altar and we kneel down to the altar and we pray. And God changes us at that moment. And most of the time we get up and we start thinking, okay, when I go home, I got to get rid of the cigarettes. I got to get rid of the drinking. I got to get rid of the cussing. I got to get rid of the stuff that's on my computer. I got to get rid of this. I got to get rid of my attitude. I got to get rid of all these bad things that are in my life. And we start thinking about the outward appearance. We start thinking about everything on the outside. And we start going, I've got to change all of these things, or I've got to get rid of all of this. But the thing is, a lot of times we as Christians, we sit there after we pray and we go home and we sit and we go, okay, God, change it. I gave you my life. It's all up to you now. But that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Change is hard. Change is hard. Let me say it again. Change is hard. Changing the way you think, the way you act, the things, the habits that you've been doing for years is hard. Automatically, we think of those things, and if we're not careful, we end up thinking about the symptoms to our problem rather than the actual disease. See, I think that's the problem we have with a lot of doctors that we go to. They don't treat the disease that we have or the sickness that we have. They treat the symptoms. Well, you got a fever, so let's give you something to break that. Or you got this, and let's give you something to take care of that pain. It's sort of like the old joke. The guy goes in and he says, "Doc, I don't understand. I don't understand what the deal is. I take medicine for the pain, and it don't go away." He said, "I sit there and I press right here, and it hurts." He sits there, he says, "I'll press right here and it hurts. I'll press down here and it hurts. I don't know what to do, Doc." Doc says, "Well, I know what to do." He says, "Well, what's the problem, Doc? I don't understand." He says, "Well, your finger's broke." Okay, that'll sink in here in a minute. I know it's goofy. It's a preacher joke. Deal with it. But the thing is, we treat the symptom instead of the problem. What's the disease? And the thing is, some of you guys may ask the question, what's the disease that keeps us going back to our old life, Pastor Aaron? Well, I'm so glad you asked that, because I've got an answer for you. And Paul actually tells us where to start making changes in our new life in Ephesians. See, that one of the problems is we go home, we don't know where to start. We say, "Okay, God, I gave you my life, and I expect everything to change, but how am I supposed to do it?" In Ephesians 4:17 through 19, it says this: with the Lord's authority, I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds, everybody say minds, are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. I'm going to stop right there for just a minute. The problem is not this, it's this. When we close our minds, see, when we live in the world, we live in darkness. We live in darkness, and we wonder why we stumble around in our lives, and we can't stay strong, and we can't get back to where we need to be with God. It's because sometimes some of us have closed minds. But what we have to do is what the word says here. Don't live like them whose minds are hardened. And they have hardened or closed, and they have hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for the lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. It all starts in the head. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's in your head. It's in your head. If you ever want to change something about yourself, you have to change the way you think first. We're in a new year, and I want to change some things about me. I want to read more. I want to study more. I want to, Lord, help me. I want to work out. God, help me. That scares me. I'm just going to be honest with you. That scares me because that's a big commitment. Because once you start, you got to keep going. Otherwise, you lose everything you got. But the thing is, I have learned, especially since my son has been home from school and has been at the house, I can't hang with him anymore. If I'm going to beat him, I'm going to have to beat him with a stick. That's the only way I'm ever going to get the upper hand on him. Because he is a hoss and he is strong. So I want to change me. My stamina is not there. My endurance is not there the way that it used to be when I was younger. And I've got to change some things in my life. But the thing is, I can't change this without changing this. We sit there and we say, okay, God, I want this changed in my life. I don't want to struggle with this sin anymore. I don't want to struggle with this attitude anymore. I don't want to struggle with this situation in my life anymore. But we never change this. We never change the way that we think. We never change the attitude that we have up here. We all have tendencies when it comes to the way that we think. Some of us are extremely positive. Everything we see is butterflies, rainbows, and Skittles. And we're excited about it. We're excited about it. We're uber positive people. Then there are some that they're exact opposite. They walk around like Eeyore all day long. Well, Winnie, I don't know if we're going to survive. God just ain't with me no more. I'm never going to beat this. And we walk around with that negative attitude. It's sort of like somebody that walks by and they see the glass half full, or somebody looks at it and they say, well, that glass half full. The other person looks at it and says, that glass half empty. Third person walks by, picks it up and drinks and says, that glass was good. It doesn't matter what's how big or how full it is. There's something on the inside of it that can nourish you and that can lift you up and that can be used for you. Stop looking at whether it's half full or half empty. Just look at it as that's something that God provided for me. We have to change the way we think. Some of us walk around anxious like we've had 20 cups of coffee that day. We're sitting there walking around, I got to get something done. Okay, what am I supposed to do now? Let's cut the grass, let's wash the car, let's build a house, let's do all this kind of stuff, and then I'm going to go take a nap. And then I lay there, okay, I got to go to sleep. Go to sleep. They walk around and they're so anxious about things. Everybody has to change the way that we think if we're going to change. Whatever personality or way you're thinking, the thinking that you have, it can be one of the hardest things to change in our lives. The way that we think is one of the hardest things to change. But at the same time, it is such an impact for who, it has such an impact on who's, on who we are and how we react in life. The way you think shapes how you react to other people. Some people that are negative, they'll look at somebody talking over here on the side, and they go, they're talking about me. Somebody that's positive, they'll look at somebody that's talking and say, oh, look how friendly they are. Two different personalities. If you want to change who you are, you got to change how you think first. The same time, it has such an impact. Paul describes the Gentiles or the unsaved as hopelessly confused. The reason he gives this is because their minds are full of darkness and because their minds are closed. If we try to walk around in the dark, how many of you ever get up in the middle of the night? I wake up a lot. I wake up a lot in the middle of the night. And there's something about, I just don't sleep through the night very often. And I'll get up and I'll try to walk around, or I'll go to the restroom, or I'll go get me a drink, or I'll go sit down on the couch or something. How many of you have ever gotten up, walked around, and you're trying to be nice and not turn on the light for your spouse, because you know that if you do, then all of a sudden that inner demon will come out and turn out the light. No, I'm kidding. She never does that to me anymore. But the thing is, I'm going to get it when I get home. But the thing is, you get up and you walk around. But the thing is, you're trying to leave the lights off. You're trying to be quiet and everything. And all of a sudden, it's like that little pinky toe just reaches out and grabs the side of that dresser. It's like, ding! And all of a sudden, your salvation drains from you and these words start forming in your mind. You're going, and you want to say something that you really shouldn't say. That's the way we are when our minds are darkened in this world. We walk around and we stub our toes on so many things that we never should have been around anyway. We start to trip over things that if we only turned on the light, if we would just take time to turn on the light, we start tripping over things. We're falling down. We're stubbing our little toe that's just hanging out there, minding its own business. And then the same is true with our mind. If we never let the light of God, the light of the Word, into here, if we never let that light of the Word shine into our minds and expose our problems with the way that we think spiritually, we're gonna be groping in the dark and trying to find the right path. The Word says, for the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word is a lamp and a light. We're supposed to be lighting the path for everybody. The way to actually bring light and clarity to our mind is to allow Christ to not only take control of your heart, but also your mind. See, we're quick to give our heart to God down here at the altars. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. We know that verse, and those of you that have been around church for 5 minutes, you probably know that song. And you give that heart over to God, but a lot of us, we forget to give our mind to Him too. We forget that this is where the battle is won and lost, is up here. If we give our heart to God, that's awesome and it's great. And that's the start of the battle. But you have to deal with your own mind, because in the mind is where the other things start. It's where it begins. And you may be sitting there and you may be asking the question, well, how do I do that? Everybody say, how? How do I do that? How do I change the way that I think? Remember, here the first way that you do it is we have to remember that this is just who I am does not work. This is just me. This is just who I am is a lie. Somebody say it's a lie. One of Satan's most cunning and most bought into lies is that this is who you are and you're never going to change. I will always have a bad attitude. I always have an anger problem. I will always have bitterness towards this person. I will always fail in this area in my life. I will always struggle with this situation in my life. I will always do that. And that is the lie that Satan tries to put inside of our mind and put inside of our heart. Even though we are striving to do better, he sits here and tries to tell us, you're never going to make it. This is who you are. Your dad was this way. Your mom was this way. Your family was always been this way. This is a generational thing. You can't shake it. It's always going to be there. But the thing is, just as I am is a lie. Just this is who I am. I'm going to say it that way. This is who I am is a lie. Because we can change. Somebody say, we can change. I'm a failure and I always will be. I always fail God. We have to reject who we used to be and take off that comfortable coat that has always given us that identity. See, that's what we're doing when we say, this is who I am. I'm always mad. We're pulling on that coat because it's comfortable. And it doesn't cause us to change. But that's just who I am. I've just always had a bad mouth. So and it's hard for me to. I can't control those words that come out of my mouth. So I'm going to leave it on. Well, I've always had this hurt in my heart ever since I was little because people rejected me or dealt with me wrong or dealt with me in a bad situation. So you know what? I'm going to always be guarded against everybody around me. And we pull it on like a comfortable coat. And we wear it around and we say, this is who I am. And we tell the world, you deal with who I am. And the thing is, we come down to the altar, give God our heart. Say, God, I give you everything, but leave my coat on. Because it's comfortable. It's comfortable, God. I don't want to change that. It's too hard to take off. It's too hard to pull off of me. Listen. Don't blame your dysfunction on God's design. I've said that about 4 or 5 times now in different messages. Don't blame your dysfunction on God's design. Ephesians 4:22 says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. When we give everything to God, when we give our hearts to God, we can't hang on to our old coats. We can't hold on to who we were. We can't, I'll say it this way. We cannot embrace who we're meant to be while holding on to who we used to be. We cannot embrace who we're meant to be while holding on to who we used to be. It's something that churches have to do as well. We can't embrace who God has called us to be in 2022 by hanging on to what we used to do in 2021. Oh, it got quiet up in here. We can't embrace the direction that God has got for us if we're going to hold on to the past. Now, I don't think that I'm going to come in here with a bulldozer and bulldoze everything. I honor the past. You honor and you remember the past. The Bible even tells us to do that. Something that we need to do as a church as well, though, is we cannot be the church for today while holding on to the glory of yesterday. God has done miraculous things through this church and through the church in the past. And we stand on the shoulders of great men and women. We stand on their shoulders, and it's what I call shoulder ministry. They lift us up to a new level. But we can't be lifted up to a new level and always looking down to where we used to stand. We have to look up to where God has called us to the next level, to the next step, to the next destiny, to the next purpose. And we have to keep looking forward. When we as a people and as Christians invite people to church and they ask the question, why should I? The answer of we're supposed to go to church doesn't work anymore. Listen, I've invited multiple people to church this week. Multiple people I've gone to. Amy and I went and ate at a local restaurant here in town, and we sat down, and the waitress was so nice. And we struck up a conversation. We talked for about 10, 15 minutes and had a blast talking to her. Her name was Misty. And we sat there talking to her and just going over some things with her. And I finally just looked at her and said, where do you go to church at? And she said, well, and she paused. And I went, gotcha. No, I'm kidding. Misty, if you're watching, I'm sorry. but the thing is, she paused. She said, well, me and my coworker, we've been talking about we've got to get back in church. I could not get one of our contact cards out of my pocket quick enough to hand to her. Say, listen, you be my guest. You come and you show up and you'll be my guest and we'll take you to lunch that afternoon, whatever you want to do, that kind of thing. And we'll spend some time together. I would love for you to come and visit. She said, you know what? We may do that. We need to do that. So and I'm praying that God will touch Misty in the name of Jesus right now. God, I pray that you would touch her and bring her in. And then there's another guy that I ran into by the name of Damage. Damage is 17 years old. I ran into him the other day and I was talking to him. And I can't just tell him, hey, why don't you come to church? And he looked at me and go, why? Well, because you're supposed to. No, that don't work anymore. It doesn't work anymore to tell them you're supposed to. You've got to give them something more than that. Yes, are we supposed to go to church? Yes. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering together of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. We're supposed to come and be with one another. We're supposed to encourage one another. We're supposed to help one another. But the thing is, just look at them and say, you're supposed to. That doesn't work with this generation. I wish it did. Because then I'd look at some people and say, you need to get saved because you're supposed to. There's some of them that you want to take a tack hammer to. Get saved. But it doesn't work. We got to change our method sometimes. We got to change the way that we do things. You know, in children's ministry, they don't use puppets very often anymore. Why? Because everything has gone digital. Now, we could sit there and hold on to puppets for dear life. Well, that's the way it was when I was little. And that's what I enjoyed when I was little. Yeah, but you ain't in children's church no more. We ain't trying to reach you for children. We're trying to reach the generation that is grabbing onto the digital age. We've got to change the way that we think. About 90% of that was not even in my notes. I apologize. No, I don't. But listen, our whole foundation as a church is what? Love God, love people, and make disciples. Love God, love people, make disciples. It's not go to church, fill the building, and go through the motions. We're not here to fill the building and go through the motions. We're not here to fill a pew. We're not here to fill a seat. We're here to change lives. We're here to love God and to love people by serving them and giving them value and then making disciples so that they could go out and love people as well. That's what we're about. Realize that you can't do, this is the second thing. We have to, the first thing is we got to realize that this is just who I am and this is who we are. Doesn't work. The second way to change your mind is you've got to understand that you can't do it alone. I wish we could. My mind is like a bag full of cats some days. And it takes Amy to get me back on track a lot of times. I can't change my mind on my own. I can't change my habits on my own. You have to realize we have to go to God for help. This is the whole reason why he came. It's the whole reason why he sent the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:23, it says, instead, this is just after, throw off, verse 22 where it says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. And then it says in verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. In other words, let the Spirit make them new. Let the Spirit change your mind. Let the Spirit change your heart and your attitude. Let the Spirit shape things the way that God wants them to be. Spend some time. How do you do that? Spend some time with God daily. That's one reason why I want you to download the YouVersion app. Because if you do that, there are plans on there that you can get involved with that will encourage you. And they'll come up. Hey, you want to do your reading today? Hey, you want to get involved with this today? Hey, you want to... And there's places on there just like Facebook where you can friend people and you can be held accountable with one another. Are you with me? If you're with me, say I am. Spend some time with God daily. Let him shine the light of his presence and his word into your mind and show you who you're meant to be. You do that by spending time in his word. You do that by spending time with his people. And you do that by spending time in his presence. In his word, with his people, in his presence. In his word, with his people, in church, in his presence, in worship. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, we can't even discover our purpose. One of our key principles. We can't even discover our purpose until we get our mind right. We're not going to discover who we are in Christ until we let him come in and shine a light on the inside of our mind and start sweeping out the corners that we've kept dark for so long. We come and give our lives to Christ at the altar. And then when God comes in with a flashlight into our minds and into our hearts and we start looking around, we go, oh no, leave that corner alone. That's where I keep my relationships. I don't want you to get in. The thing is, we've got to shine, let that light shine and take a broom and start sweeping those things out. Sweep those relationships out. Sweep those attitudes out. Change the way that we think. Again, it's a hard thing to do, but we have to do it. We as a church, and again, I want you to remember this, we as a church are here for you as well. We're here for you as well. You've got God on your side and you've got us. See, our foundation is always Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of our relationship. Jesus Christ is the foundation of who we are. Jesus Christ is the foundation that we build everything else on. But you know what the church is? The church is a supporting structure. It is a load-bearing beam that you are supposed to lean on when things get too heavy, when things get hard. Christ is always your foundation, but the church and your church family are load-bearing. We have to understand we're not alone. Turn to somebody and say next to you, say, you're not alone. You're not alone. And the last thing is don't just sit and wait on change. Don't just sit and wait for it. To spiritually overcome and possess the promise and the purpose that God desires for us, we have to choose to change personally. We have to choose to change personally. Joshua 4 tells a story. It tells a story of the Israelites as they were leaving the wilderness. Imagine they've just been through 40 years in the wilderness where they wandered around because they did not obey God. That was their punishment. But then it came time. Everybody else had died off. That entire generation had died off. And Joshua was still leading the crew. He was leading the people. And they came to the River Jordan. Now the River Jordan is so many times in the Bible. What that River Jordan means is crossing. It actually means crossing over. As a matter of fact, let me get back to my notes because I want to tell you exactly what it is. The crossing of the Jordan is meant to signify moving from bondage to freedom. Let me say that again. It's to signify bondage to freedom, from wandering to purpose, to remember the significance of the moment. Now see, again, they were getting ready to walk across, and God told Joshua, all right, have the priests put the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders and go stand in the midst of the Jordan. In the midst of the Jordan, we want them to stand in the midst of Jordan. And when they stand there, the waters will stop up and you'll cross over on dry ground. So what did Joshua do? He told the people this, and the Bible says as soon as they stepped foot into the Jordan, the waters parted and they crossed over on dry land. But before they ever moved from that place, God wanted them to remember what had just happened. Again, there's been plenty of times where we come to the altar and we step foot at the altar and all of a sudden we are brought from a place of bondage to a place of freedom. We are brought from a place of wandering into a place of purpose. And we remember those days. Every one of us could probably remember the time that we gave our lives to Christ. We remember the smell of the room. We remember the color of the carpet. We remember the fact that Sister Papoofnik was over here doing her Holy Ghost siren going on. We may not remember what the pastor preached, but we remember small details like that, those things. We remember those things. The Bible says that he wanted them to remember that moment, so he had them take 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan. Again, Jordan also meant death. Sometimes we won't cross over and let ourselves die before we reach our freedom. We have to cross over and let our old self die. Again, the old is gone, the new has come. But they picked up 12 stones and brought them up. And the Bible says that they took them to the camp where they were staying. And they built an altar. And they call it an altar of remembrance. And it was something to, for them to remember about what God did. And he even says that so that generations beyond you, so that the future generations will be reminded of what I have done in your midst. That is the reason why you do that. But the thing is, they could have sat there for generations to come and watched that monument. Watched that altar of remembrance. Watched it grow over and grow old and have moss grow on it. They could have sat there and remembered that. But the thing is, God never intended them to stand there or sit there for the rest of their lives and stare at that monument. But that's what we do as Christians sometimes. We give our lives to Christ and then we sit down and we wait for the change to happen in our lives instead of going out and possessing the promise that God wanted us to have. If the Israelites had decided they were going to sit right there and not move, they never would have possessed the promised land. Joshua 4:8 says the Israelites, or I've done gone all past that. I got excited. See, after they got up and moved is when they possessed the land. They didn't possess the land just because they crossed the Jordan. They didn't go and possess the land until they faced a trial. They didn't go and possess the land until they came up against Jericho. They came up against something that looked unbeatable. But they had to change the way they did things. They had to change. They had to change positions. They had to change who they were. There was a change in my life about 3 years ago. I mean, I've been in ministry now for 25 years, basically. Been in ministry for 25 years, and God has been doing great things in our lives and has used us to do some miraculous things. But I could tell that my life was going to be in transition 3 years ago and that God was going to do something different in me. But the thing is, I knew God was going to do something. But if I didn't change the way that I thought, it would never come to pass. I had to do something different in order to reach where God wanted me to reach. See, if I wanted to reach out and touch my wife over here, I can't stand here and go, okay, I'm waiting until God brings her to me. Where's she at, God? I thought you said you wanted me to touch her life. I thought you said you wanted me to... Come on. We have to change our position to reach what God has for us. We have to change what we're going to do. 3 years ago, God planted in my heart that things were going to start changing. So I started studying more. I started reading more on leadership. I started doing more to build me up and to change the way that I think. And I'm so glad that I did because, God, I never would have been in the position where I am now without that change in my life. Too many Christians are sitting by the banks of where their freedom was won at the altars and not possessing the promise and the freedom that God bought for them because they're too busy waiting on change to happen in their lives when God is telling them, hey, you got to put some effort into it. You got to get up and you got to start walking. And this is totally out of my notes, but that's one thing that he told Joshua. I will give you every piece of land that you set your foot on. That you set your foot on. So in other words, he could have walked around the entire globe and he would have possessed it. It's when we stop changing where we're at, when we stop moving, when we stop growing. That is when it was when everything stops. We have to position ourselves to take a posture that allows us to change. We cannot be stubborn about our growth in Christ and expect Him to do the heavy lifting. There are some things that we have to do to be His disciples. Matthew 16:24 says this, and I'm closing. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "If you want to be my follower, do whatever you want. If you want to be my follower, then just give me lip service and don't change a thing." He doesn't say that. If you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Give up your own way of thinking. My ways are higher. My thoughts are higher. Take up your cross and follow me. You have to understand, or we have to understand, our way doesn't work. My way doesn't work. If I could come in here with all kinds of plans of how we're going to grow this church and how we're going to reach lives. I could come in here with plan after plan after plan after plan, but if God is not involved in it, then it doesn't amount to anything. Because my plans don't work. It's only when my plans when I take His plans and say, okay, God, I will take your plan and put my effort into it. That's the only way that is the only thing that's going to work. There's a skit that we used to do when I was a teenager. Many years ago. And it's called Savior's Solid Food Shop. It was one of the funniest skits. I loved it. And it was all about, like, it was treating in the physical realm as if it was a spiritual realm. And it was like it was a restaurant that served spiritual food. And two people would come in and they sat down. One guy was real loud and boisterous and hollering and, "Woo, I love this place. My favorite place to eat. Savior, Solid Food Shop." And he's excited to be there. And then another guy comes in. And he walks up to him, he's real shy. And he looks at the guy, "Is this seat saved?" And the guy sitting next to him says, "No, but it's under conviction." And it's one of those cheesy jokes, okay? Some of y'all are going, "I don't get it." But it goes through, and the real loud guy orders all this food. He orders revival roast. He orders some praising peas. And he orders some new wine to go with his meal. And then he orders some Pentecostal pudding, that kind of stuff. And he orders all these things. And the waitress comes over and asks the other guy, "Okay, so what do you want?" And the guy calls him down and says, whisper something there. They go, "Are you sure that's all you want?" And they walk off. They walk off and come back a few seconds later with a meal. "Here's your revival roast. Here's your praising peas. Here's this. Here's that. Some holy hash browns and all that kind of stuff." And they're giving them all the food. And then they walk over to the other guy, and "Here's yours," and puts it down in front of them. And the person that had all this big food starts eating. It's just, "Oh, it's so good." Looks over, and the other guy reaches out, grabs it, and acts like he's sucking on a bottle. And all of a sudden the guy goes, "Oh, I get it. You're a baby Christian. Oh, that's so sweet. How long have you been saved?" And the guy, "23 years. See, I don't laugh at that because we have Christians that have sat in church for 23 years and we've been drinking milk the entire time. When God has called us to go further. But we don't want to change our routine. We don't want to change our meal. It's something we're comfortable with. It doesn't upset our stomach." Matter of fact, that's one of the things that they say in the skit. He says, "Try some Pentecostal pudding." He says, "No, that might upset my stomach." And he says, "Yeah, it upsets a lot of people." Church, listen to me. We need to get beyond sucking on a bottle. This year, some of us need to change how we think. If you're struggling in your mind and your walk with Christ, or if you're struggling with your walk with Christ, let me ask you, how's your mind? The whole reason the mind is an important place to start is that what is in the mind infects the heart. If your mind is dark, it can cause you to lose heart in your walk and lose focus and focus on yourself rather than what God wants in you. We can focus on the outward all day long. Well, I got to look the part. I got to dress right. I got to act right. I got to talk right. I got to do right. But if we never address the mind, nothing else matters. If we can ever get our mind right and fill it with the light of Christ, it will change our perspective and our walk with God. The first battle is here. Remember, it isn't a battle that you fight alone. God has given you every tool and every weapon and placed it within your grasp. His word renews and restores our minds. It literally shines a spiritual light into the dark recesses of our mind and says, hey, that doesn't belong here. Let's get rid of it. You aren't working alone. But you're working with the one who created you and knows every struggle and every trial you faced. And lastly, don't wait for change to happen to you. We have to take an active part in our growth with Christ. That's just who I am. Doesn't work. God didn't call you to be who you are. He called you to be something more. He called you to be more. He called you to be His. He called you to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart for Him. He called you for purpose. If you understand me, say, I do. If you would, let's stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, right now, I pray that you would pour your Spirit out over this place. God, I lay aside all plans and all desires that I have. God, if there are things in my mind and in my heart that need to change, then I pray that you would change them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help me to grow in you this year. Help me to grow in your presence. God, there are habits right now I know of that you want to break in me. God, change my mind first. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today, number one, if you do not know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, there's the first thing that you got to change. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to accept Him. You've got to understand we are broken. We are sinners. But He died for your sins. He loves you enough to change you on the inside. If that's you, then right now, if you want to accept Him as personal Lord and Savior, then right now I just invite you to lift your hand in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, my second question is this. Maybe you are a Christian that you've been living for years. Maybe you're like what I was talking about. You've been serving God for 23, 33, 43, 53 years. But you're still sucking on a spiritual bottle because you're not actively feeding yourself. There are some habits in your own personal life that you need to change. If that's you, and this year, in 2022, God is calling you and saying, hey, don't just say you're going to change. Let's put some feet to our faith. If that's you today and you say, I know God is asking me to change today. And today I want to change some things in my life. If that's you, I invite you to raise your hand right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. All over the place. Well, right now, I want you to do me a favor. Everybody that would. If you would, I want you to come down to the altar and I want us to pray for change, not just for each other, but for this entire area. Come on down right now. Just come on down and let's spend a few moments talking to God about the changes in our own personal lives. The attitudes that we need to change, the things that we need to change on the inside of us. Come on down. Even if you didn't raise your hand, I invite you to come down and say, okay, God, search my heart. Search who I am. If there's anything in me that needs to change right now, then God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would do it. You may want to stand, you can kneel, you can do whatever you want. But today, it is a day of salvation, it is a day of change, it is a day of being broken before Him. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would pour your Spirit out, and that you would move in this place. Zach, if you would, turn that music up. Father God, that you would touch us all, every single individual that is down here at this altar. God, in the name of Jesus, we seek your face today. We seek your anointing. And God, we ask that you would change our minds, change the way that we think, the things that we hold on to from our past, the things that we hold on to that we think about that hurt us in the past. God, I pray that you would help us to let go of them finally. Lord, I pray that you would touch those habits that we have that are keeping us from your presence, that are keeping us from changing and more being more like you. God, in the name of Jesus, myself, God, if there is anything in me that is not right, if there is anything in me that needs to change, search me out. Because, God, I cannot lead without you. I cannot lead this church. I cannot lead these people without your presence with me. God, in the name of Jesus, help me to change. In Jesus' name, come on, church, cry out to him. There is no shame in calling out. There is no shame in shouting to him and saying, God, I need you. God, we need you today. Come on, give me about 3 minutes. 3 minutes of earnestly seeking God and saying, God, we pray that you would change the way that we do things. If we're not doing things in your will, then God, change the way that we do it. If we're not saying things the way that we need to say them, then change the way that we need to say them, God. Lord, if we need to change the way we act around our visitors, if we need to change the way we act around the people around us, if we need to change the way that we reach out to people around us, God, in the name of Jesus, help us. Those that say, I'm just not somebody that invites somebody to church, God, I pray that you would help them to be changed in the name of Jesus. That, God, they would understand that that's just who I am does not work anymore, but that we need to stretch ourselves and move forward, because we cannot expect you to do all the heavy lifting. We have a cross to bear. It's not as heavy as the one that you bore, God. It's not a cross of sin, but it's a cross of responsibility. Lord, let us take up our cross and follow after you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify your name. God, right now I pray for Brad, who is at home. He may even be watching right now. He's in a lot of pain right now. God, I pray that you would send healing on him. That you would lift him up and strengthen him today. That, God, that you would let him know that this burden that he carries, he does not carry alone. But that, God, we're with him, and that you're with him, and that, God, you have not put him through this just to be putting him through it, but that, God, there is a purpose and a design behind it. We don't have to understand the design in order for you to carry out your will. In Jesus' name, touch him today, God. In Jesus' name. Oh, we worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want everybody to say this after me. Lord Jesus, this year is your year. It's not my year. It's not my will be done, but your will. This year belongs to God. My life belongs to God. My heart belongs to God. My mind needs the light of the word, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Can we give God praise?